good morning and blessings to you from and greetings from Rock Haven Mennonite in Flat Rock, Illinois. I thank you already for extending the right hand of fellowship to me. It seems like the word of this travels real quickly, and I think we arrived here at about 4:30 or so yesterday afternoon, and we're just going to kind of spend, we come up here for other purposes at the MEC Center, and just going to kind of spend the weekend, and we're just going to slip into a church someplace this morning. I know a few people, not a lot, and we was barely down the road. We was barely in this community 10 minutes, and Laverne calls. And it's kind of like, well, you know, when I saw the phone, I was kind of like, you already knew. And it's kind of like, how does that happen so fast? Are you willing to share? So as a call of God upon my life to share, it says in season, out of season, wherever we may be. And that's for not only as anyone that's ordained, but each and every one of us, that we would heed the call of God to share. And there's so many things this morning already that was shared here that just, I don't know how to bring it all in. I'm not going to try. But as you guys think about the message this morning, that how the Spirit of God actually works. You know, I didn't really have a totally prepared message because I wasn't, you know, I was just like going to take it easy. I am the only pastor there. We're a small congregation. And so unless somebody comes, I preach every Sunday. And which I all of a sudden, I when I think about that, that can be a blessing. It you know, you are more prepared. If you just do once a month or once in a while, I've found myself, maybe we can grow lax. But so I'm young in the ministry, and not that long, but I love to share in the Word of God. But how that the Spirit of God works, there's so many things that was shared already this morning, I think plays into what I have to share today. And one thing is, like some of the prayer requests, have you ever noticed how that if when God is ready to or wants to bless someone, be it a person, a country, or a nation, or whatever, he must prepare. He must prepare that person, or that country, or that nation. He must prepare the way. So, there's a little bit of that in what I have in the message, that God prepares us. But I would like to open with Psalms 95, verse 1 to 8. I think I'm just going to, without further introductions, forget me as a messenger, just listen to the message, I guess. Listen to what, and I don't have just one chapter. I'm skipping around in the Word of God, you could say, picking verses here and there. If I title my message, I'm going to title it A Sweet-Smelling Savior, okay? An aroma that is well-pleasing to God. And maybe not all these verses tie into that, but as I had this as a short devotional, and then I expanded upon it after I got here and was asked to share. So just as an opening, Psalms 95. I love this Psalms. We probably know it well. But and we did this morning already. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is great. God and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, what does it tell us? Open our hearts. Harden not your heart, as in the day of the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. So when we think about this, you know, we speak of God and we praise him in singing. He's a rock. He's great. He's the King of Kings. This psalm speaks of divine ownership. He is the creator. We are the creature. He's our maker and we are his. And he has his way in our lives. He has his way. So will we hear his voice? And if we get the picture, it was shared a little bit this morning about Revelations. From the brother that give testimony, Revelation 7, verse 11 through 12. You can turn with me to these scriptures if you want to, if you're Bible flipping people, or verse, you know, or you can just follow along. So we have this picture here in chapter 7, verse 11. chapter 7, verse 11, yeah. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell down before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. So we see that, that the Word of God and the angels and the scene that's in there, that they are blessing God, the glory that's there, the wisdom that's there, the thanksgiving from our hearts to Him, that there's honor and that there's power there would be to God forever and ever. Amen. You know, what a difference compared to what our Sunday school class was on the great Diana. You know, I mean, things that's made with hands that don't even breathe, you know, don't even have life or breath in them. What is there to honor or glory, or where is there power in that? There is none. So in preparing the way, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, we have the preparation of the prophecy of there. It says, it's the voice of him that crieth out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight the path in the desert, a highway for our God. The fulfillment of that came forth in Matthew chapter 3, verse 3, which was John the Baptist. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Esaias. Says the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight, which was John the Baptist. Let me turn to that. And the key of that is in the preparation of preparing you the way of the Lord, or in the preparation of God preparing us to bless us. What is one of the keys? I think it's in verse 2. What did he first say? Repent and receive the forgiveness of your sins, so that we are cleansed and that we are made whole. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he says. Where is the kingdom of heaven today? It's within us. he tells us that also in the scriptures. So the key is repent and be cleansed. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is within you. So my prayer for all of us this morning is that our hearts are prepared to receive what the Lord has to give to us, this message, with thanksgiving in our hearts to him. We know in Matthew 4, verse 4, Jesus had told the devil that man does not live by bread alone, but from what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so we have this word. We have life. We have what sustains us through in our journey. Even though we need physical food, you could say, to live, we have this that actually sustains us. We do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This word of God is available to each and every one of us today. I want to turn to 1 John 4, verse 16. And it tells us this, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because he is, so are we in this world. In verse 17, he tells us that love is made perfect. In verse 18, he tells us this, that there's no fear in love. In verse 19, he tells us we love him because he first loved us. I have this little story to share, or just a little tidbit about love, about God on this verse. Water must be wet. A fire must be hot. You can't take the wetness out of water and still have water. Neither can you take the heat out of fire and still have fire. Neither can you take the love out of God and have anything left, because God is love. We can't take it. So if we look deep within ourselves, any of the circumstances or the journey that we are going through, facing or going through life, and we explore what's happening, God is preparing us in many different ways. If we would search it out, in many different angles, love is all you'll find of what God is doing for you. Go to the beginning of every decision he has made, and you'll find it. Go to the end of every story that you know, and you'll see it. Love. Not bitterness, not evil, not cruel, just love. Flawless love, passionate love, vast, pure love, because he is love. I'll refer to that a little bit as I go through that. If I just jump ahead, I think that love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, as it spreads and as it affects the people that we're around and that we're in, first and foremost within our own families, then that is the sweet smelling savor unto God. Because that is what he give us. He give us Christ within us, the hope of glory. Could they take love out of that statue of Diana? So I'm not preaching anything new today. This word is old. This word is 2,000, 6,000 years old, and it still stands. It's still for us today. As we use many different verses and from the Word of God to share in this message. And I'm going to go back in the Old Testament just a little bit. In Genesis 8, verse 21, it says that the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil, and from his youth, neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. And he was setting up the burnt offerings, you could say, that was taking place there, that Noah had brought and offered to God. And God says that that smelled sweet to him. You know, I don't really think that the smell, the stench of the burnt bodies of those animals, how could that be sweet? But I believe it was the obedience. Noah offered. The obedience was the sweet smell. So there's a key. Love, sweet smell. Obedience is a sweet smell unto God. It wasn't it Noah's obedience, really? In Exodus 29, verse 18, it talks about the ram that was brought there and burnt, you know, as an offering that Aaron and his sons offered. And again, this was obedience, but it was also a resemblance, you could say, for what? For the forgiveness of sins. It wasn't the smell, again, but it was the forgiveness that was given, that God extended to mankind by their offering or making that sacrifice to that ram, the forgiveness of sins. Matthew 5, verse 13 tells us this, that you're the salt of the world, of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? So if there is no love, wherewith shall we love from within us? And what does it tell us? It says it's then henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of man. Luke 14:34 tells us the same thing. It's just another example that we have that you can't take wetness out of water, neither heat out of fire, neither love out of God. You cannot get rid of the saltiness of salt and have salt left. In Ephesians 5, verse 1 to 2, first two verses, he says, Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. That offering was his own son, that God has given to us. The walk in love is an offering that we have. So as we are followers of God, let us walk in love. Philippians 4, verse 18. Paul is giving this example of what was taking place there But I have all and abounded. I am full and having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. In verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So, you know, of all the churches that were helping, and Paul was trying to make a living, you could say, and provide his way, he had needs that came up there. And the church at Philippi was the one of the only ones that helped and to supply that need, that offered a gift that communicated to him with Paul about his needs. And so, as we communicate with each other, and we heard needs this morning and desires, as we communicate, to communicate and do good, it says, is well-pleasing unto the Lord. That is a way of being a sweet smell unto God. There's several other ones. Let's look at some 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. This is talking about the sacraments. As I don't know if you've recently done it, or when your communion services are, or how often, or whenever, but those things, as we do in remembrance of him. And so this sweet smell and savior was a brief devotional that I had before our communion services last Sunday. And that it tells us that here in chapter 10, verse 16, it says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24 to 25, then. Just repeating this again. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And at the same manner, also he took the cup, when he had supped, and saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. I think when we do that, when we keep those sacraments and we do it together as a body believer, you know, that we humble ourselves, we wash our feet, we give alms, those are sweet smells unto the Lord. It's a way that we can be a sweet smell that the God that God is pleased. And we do it. Do we do it just for one another? No. We do it in remembrance of what God has done for us, giving his Son that we may have forgiveness of our sins, that we have eternal life abiding within us. So, when you think about that, those sacraments, you know, they're serious, and we should do it as often as we do it in remembrance of him. I'll share another little story, just a little bit here. This guy's name was Bob. He got off the bus. He was traveling for many, many, far away from home, many hours, long day. And he was grateful that he was going to have dinner with friends. Of friends, somebody he didn't know. He was going to stay with some friends of friends who lived in the area that he was going to. They welcomed him in, and he immediately felt a sense of peace. He felt at home. He felt comfortable, safe. He felt like he was valued. Later on, he was wondering about this. Why did he feel this in such an unfamiliar place? Bob found his answer in 2 Corinthians. And we'll turn to that, chapter 2, verses 14 to 17. But the Apostle Paul here is describing in these verses a people that have a pleasing aroma. And as followers of Christ. That's exactly what's happening, Bob said. When he thought about that, he said these people, they smelled like Christ. And many, many years later, he would still recount that incident of that trip that he took. 40 years down the road, he never forgot that sweet smell of being in that house. Because of what? He felt at home, he felt comfortable, he felt loved, He felt safe. He felt valued. What should we be doing within the community as a church? I'm speaking all these things to myself. As an individual, as a body of believer, do we all feel safe here? Do we all feel some security here? Do we all feel loved? Do you all feel valued? That's sweet. That's sweet. It's a sweet smell. But let's read Corinthians there. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14 to 16. This is what he's saying here. Okay, the scene is taking place here. Paul had went back, and I'm not sure if it's Macedonia, but he was searching for Titus. It says that in 13, it says, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother. But taking leave of them, he still went into Macedonia. And now he says this in 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Is that happening? That's a challenge to me. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. You see what it's telling us there? You are a sweet smell. Christ within you, the hope of glory, to those that are saved, and you're also an anchor to those that are perishing, that don't know the Lord. You can be that anchor. You can be that sweet smell. It says to the one in verse 16, we are the savior of death unto death, and to the other, the savior of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? You know, we can't do it on our own. But I felt welcomed here. I felt welcomed in Laverne's home. I felt blessed. I felt comfortable. I didn't really feel out of my comfort zone at all. I don't feel out of my comfort zone here because we have the Word of God. You know, why should I be nervous? You know, I could be, but there's no need to be. I feel secure here. I just do because it's okay. Because there is this smell of Christ. When I listen to testimonies, when I listen to the service this morning, bless you for that. let us be this for all people. Let our homes be this. Let our churches be this. Where there's peace, where there's love, where there's joy, where there's value. This is a sweet smell. At the ending, I was going to say this, but we know where the opposite is. You know, the spirit of man, the spirit of God, they're enmity. And where there's a spirit of contention or discontentment, there's the devil's playground. He works. And there is no sweet smell about that. We've probably, several of us have been through many things in that way. You know, there is no sweet smell to that. So let us open our homes and open our churches to be that sweet smell. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13... I'm just trying to bring out examples of the sweet smell. Here we have a real example in the scriptures that simply tell us this. Verse 13, Acts chapter 4. And now when they saw, this is when they was in front of the leaders there. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man, which was healed, was standing there, it says they could say nothing. So that Christ within us will stop the mouths of the adversaries, will stop the enemy from making inroads into our lives. It says they were unlearned and ignorant men. It says it was just, and they marveled. Somehow they took notice that these men had been with Jesus. Is that happening for us today? Do people notice that we have been spending time in prayer, in loving them, in caring for them? Luke 24, we have the story of two men that was walking on the Emmaus Road, talking about all the things that was happening back in that day. If we get a picture of what was taking place, that Christ had been crucified and the temple, the veil in the temple had rent, and there's many descriptions you could say. And here comes Jesus walking alongside of them, drew near, and he went with them, and he asked them what they were talking about. And then he started and he expounded the scriptures to them, it says, of the things that was concerning himself that they was wanting to know about. You know, but it wasn't until he got to the end and they invited him in, and he sat at their table. And it says, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. And then it tells us in verse 32, I like this verse, it says, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us? So as Christ, as we communicate with him, then let's also have a heart that recognizes and burns with passion for what Christ has done with us, for us. That is sweet. That is a sweet smell to experience and feel the love of God within us. we have a single man in our congregation that recently gave testimony. He was in an accident. He flipped his truck over and was not hurt, came out with a little scratch on his finger. And he gave testimony the other evening before communion services that he even had said he had made a mockery out of this in times past. He never really felt that God loved him. He said he even joked about it. It's like, yeah, right, God loves me, you know. But he said after the accident, and after he realized that somebody was watching over him, he said, now I know God loves me. You know, that's sweet. That's a sweet smell that you can feel within your heart. And we should all be able to, that God loves me. He loves each and every one of us. How much? That he gave his only begotten son, as it says in John 3:16. But the part about our hearts burning within us, so that we have communion with God, and he will come. You know, it's not a mystery. It says that as we invite him, he will come and make his abode with us, that we can be with him and in him. Isaiah 53 verse 10 talks a little bit about just sharing what God had actually has given to us. Isaiah 53:10 talks about all the sufferings of Christ and what was prophesied there. It taught in the previous verses. And then in verse 10 it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And that smelled sweet unto the Lord. And then in Hebrews 13, verses 15 through 16 will tell us this. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That's the fruit of our lips, and we give thanks to his name. In verse 16, but to do good and communicate. Forget not, it says, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So forget not to communicate. Forget not to do good. So if we review a few things here that are sweet smelling unto God as a sweet smelling aroma, we could say there's several things, there's more than just what I have listed, but let's just list some of them. Prayer, the prayer of saints. Your prayers up here was a sweet smell unto the Lord. You was intercessory prayers, prayers for yourself, prayers for whoever. The prayers of saints. But in the preparation of that, you know, we had about Isaiah 40 verse 33 about preparing the way. It takes first a cleansed heart, the cleansing of our hearts in repentance. So repentance is a sweet smell unto the Lord, because it says that a humble and a contrite heart, the Lord will not despise. He will accept. He accepts us. To be a witness, to be a testimony of God. We're saved by grace. We're saved by grace through faith. It's not a works, so that any man can boast, he tells us. So that witness that we can witness to people of being saved by grace is a testimony, is a sweet smell. And love, greater love has no man than he that lays his life down. And that's what Christ did for us, the perfect example that he died for us. No love is greater than that. And so we cannot remove love and have God left. God is love. Even though that it's the attribute of God, you can't separate it. God will still be God. So I thought about these things that another way that we have reaching out in within as a congregation, or within the congregation and outside the congregation, and those that we work with each and every day, so forth, that we can be a blessing. I don't want to, you know, say anything you could say that upholds myself, but we have an example of construction, and I've hired a guy that's a convicted felon. You know, he can't get a job someplace else, and I thought it's just a way to bless him. What do I have to lose? I don't believe he's going to steal from me. He's been convicted of drugs, was the biggest thing. He's been clean now for 6 months or so, and he's wanting a new start in life. He confessed that. I want to start over, he says. You know, what are we here for? Can I not just bless him with work, you know, in that way? And can we not also do the same thing? So we have in the fruits of the Spirit is what I wanted to say. In exercising those fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and they that are in Christ, one of the last ones, have crucified our flesh with our affections and lusts that we have. You know, there's gifts of the Spirit, and there's fruits of the Spirit. We may not all have the gifts of the Spirit that is given, but we can all have a measure of the fruit of the Spirit. We all can have a measure of that within our lives, and we can use that to be a sweet smell unto those that are around us. If we exercise those, then I believe that God is well pleased. I'm not watching the clock. I'm not sure how long my message is supposed to be. And to me, if I share a message, it doesn't really matter. And so I'm going to be closing here in a little bit, and I'll just be opening myself up to you for your part in sharing whatever else you guys have today. So, concluding thoughts, I guess. May our churches, may our congregations, may our homes, may our communities, may they be a place where there is rest, where there is peace. You know, many a broken home today, you know, do your sons and daughters, do they feel comfortable coming back to your house? Are they comfortable? Is it a refuge? Or when they come to church, whatever it may be, if they come into the services, is there a sense of peace, a sense of you're valued, you're wanted, you're needed, where everyone can be giving off that sweet smell, Christ within us, the hope of glory. If the opposite is happening, which I said earlier, where there's strife, contentions, jealousy, self-proclaimed, these are enmities of God, and it's the playground of Satan, which is the world. as this world, as this earth, is a footstool of God, but it's the playground of Satan. And probably the key missing element, you know, is to love without partiality or anything in the way, as God loves us. You know, what can we do to mess up that would take God's love away from us? Anything? Nothing. And we do. We do fail. It's not that we don't. We're imperfect as long as we're in this body. But we can be perfect in the love of with the love of God within us. So what's missing? You know, we cannot remove love from God and still have God left. So I would just like to close, and then I'm going to open myself up. I'm open for testimony. We kind of have this little, our little thoughts are like, you know, with constituencies and whoever you have, you know, who shares or who can you share the pulpit with. If anyone comes to our church and they're open for testimony, then by two or three witnesses, all things are established, and therefore he can preach. He can share. So I'm open to that. You never asked me that, but I'm grateful for that. If anything that I have shared that didn't come from the Word of God or that needs correction, then please correct me. You know, don't let me go home in error. This is the Word of God. It's serious. Thank you for your attentiveness. Come visit us. We're a small congregation. We'd welcome you. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, as we come before you at this time, we thank you, Lord, for your word that has come forth. We thank you, Father, that your people can be a sweet smell as a savior unto you. And so help us, Lord, as we look out about us. There's many hurting and needing people. There's many broken homes. There's many needs that we see, not only within the church, within our body believers, but within our neighborhoods, within our communities, and within our nations. And help us just to be that they can recognize that we have spent time with you. And help us, Lord, to do that, to spend more time in your word, to search it out, to apply it to our lives, and to put it into action so that we can transform that love that you have loved us with. It's not for us to keep, but it's to share with all those that we encounter each and every day. We thank you, Father, for this time of sharing. We thank you for this congregation. We thank you for all the prayers that was offered up and on the behalf of the message and for everyone involved. We just give thanks and praise and glory to you. We want to just close this message with praise to you, Lord, because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-caring, and that our hearts are grateful and thankful to you again this day. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.